You'll find information on how to support Clear Vision Revival at the end of this podcast. So we're going to talk a little bit more about this grace. I want you to understand, because I'm getting people who are saying, I can't understand the law of sowing and reaping. I can't understand how to operate in this grace, this free unmerited favor that God has given us. Well, if you pray, then the Holy Spirit will give you understanding. He will open your eyes up. I understand this. I understand it very clearly, because I spent years studying it out. And God gave me the answers. I went to the Lord and said, how does this work? And he showed me. I was gobsmacked. It's something that no one else had ever taught me. They just said, tithe and God will bless you. And that's it. And I never understood about sowing and reaping in its fullness. So I went on a journey with the Lord, and he started unraveling all of the twisted ideas that Christendom try to use to get money out of your pocket, so that they can get on with their programs that don't seem to change people's lives. You know, people have for years have been planting seed into a dead ground, a ground that's not anointed, and it's not bringing forth any fruit. So, you know, I want you to understand that it's not the way that Christendom preaches about the prosperity doctrine. I mean, some of the stuff that comes out is just a mind. I'm amazed that even Christians would even swallow this stuff. I mean, stuff like where people say, you know, in the audience, you know, there are people that the Lord wants to move on, and if they'll write a check for $1,000, they'll get a double portion of their hundredfold. People can't wait to write these checks out. And I went to the Lord and said, why do all of these Christians get so fooled? He said, because they don't have their eyes on him. They have their eyes on their own situation. They're still operating in the flesh and in their unredeemed soul. They're looking for a quick dollar. They're looking to make money. They're not interested in the kingdom of God. They're looking in, what is it for me? What's in it for me? That's all they're thinking about. But if you get people praying in tongues, if you let the Holy Spirit transform their life, then they'll start thinking about, what does the kingdom of God need? And their needs will switch. So we're going to go through this again. We're going to step through it. And hopefully you'll understand it. But it is so, so simple. And I'll give you the formula straight away. And we will step through it. God gives you the seed so that you can sow into anointed ministry. God gives you the seed so that you can sow into anointed ministry. God gives you the operation. He gives you the ability. It may not be financial seed. He gives you the ability, right? That's the seed. It can be all sorts of things. It can be your skill set. It can be financial. But it's seed that God provides to you free of charge. Free of charge. Okay, he actually adds to your storehouse the seed for you to sow. So when it comes to your abilities, God has already given you the abilities. And if you sow it into an anointed ministry, into your anointed ground, then God will give you 100, or give you 30, 60, or 100 fold. Depending on who you are and your abilities and how much you anoint through the Holy Spirit, how much you marinate your abilities through the Holy Spirit is what you get back. So what you sow, you reap. And if you're smart, you will actually sow properly. You will garden properly. You know, a good gardener goes along and he plows the ground up. He finds all the stones that are going to stop the roots from going down. And then he plants a seed. He plows the ground and makes sure all of the thorn seeds, all the plants that are not supposed to be there, get uprooted and torn up. and then he plants the seed. So a person who has abilities, natural abilities, God-given abilities, sits down and prays in tongues, and God starts ploughing up his field and getting rid of all of the rocks in his life that are going to stop his abilities from growing and bearing a lot of fruit. So a person starts praying in tongues, and God starts ploughing the field and getting rid of all of the other competing plants that are going to stop that person from having a hundredfold return in their abilities. Now, God gives you finances. He gives you seed for the sower. You're the sower, and he gives you financial seed, money. He causes your finances to flourish so that you have seed to plant into the garden, into that field. And then God gives you a 30, 60, or 100-fold, depending on how you manage that seed. If you just throw it around and hope for the best, you'll get 30. If you're considering how to plant that particular type of seed, then you'll get 60. If you allow God to show you exactly how to plant that seed, then you'll get possibly 100-fold. And it's God that shows you how to plant the seed. If you read Isaiah chapter 28, it says, "Whom shall we teach knowledge or wisdom to? Them that are weaned from the breast, that are taken from the breast, and that are walking in the meat of the word, that are being led by the Holy Spirit. For with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak unto these people, saying, this is the rest, this is the refresher where I will cause the weary to rest." If you read a little further, he talks about who gives man the ability to plant different types of seeds in the right way. It's God. God, through the revelation, the abundant revelation that he wants you to have, he wants to give you knowledge and wisdom and understanding to walk in your life. So we're going to talk about the sowing and reaping. We're going to talk about the law of sowing and reaping. The Bible says God is not mocked. You can't turn your nose up at God. You can't try and con God. You can't trick him. Whatever you sow, you'll reap. You know, if you're not willing to sow into the kingdom of God, if you're not willing to sow into your spiritual life, spiritual words, praying in the Holy Spirit, that word is engrafted inside you, you're going to have worldly words. You're going to have worldly ideas. And you're going to have to compete with just worldly ideas. If you want to really compete in this world and you want to get ahead, then have spiritual ideas that come from the kingdom of God, that are spiritually inspired from the right place, not from the enemy. So we're going to talk about all of this stuff again. You know, in Galatians it says, "Bear ye one another's burdens." In Galatians chapter 6, it says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So that's one of the laws of Christ, is fulfilling, is bearing each other's burdens. So how do you do that? By praying for each other, by being used of God to help each other. Okay, so, you know, if there's a need, you get in there and you help. You know, if someone's ministering, then you help them physically, naturally, or you might have to help them financially. And it says here, "For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself." You know, there's a lot of ministers out there that are saying, "Look, follow me and I'll lead you into the path of light." And they're forever selling people CDs and, you know, 12-step plans and 15-step plans. And they're forever, people are going around circles and never really getting the end product, which is a blessed life. It says, "But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another's." You know, I can't minister to you someone else's ministry. You know, the Lord has given me this, and this is what I minister to you. And I get people ring me up all the time and say, "You know, since I started praying in tongues, my life's starting to change. Everything's starting to flow." So, you know, I'm rejoicing in what God has given me, and I'm trying to plant it into your life. It says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. What does that mean? Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. When Paul was in Macedonia, when he was in Philippi, the church went to Paul and said, what do you need? How can we help you? And when did they do that? They did it when Paul was leaving Macedonia, when he was leaving Philippi to go and preach the gospel. They didn't say it to him when he first arrived, because he was sowing into their life first. He was ministering to them the gospel. He didn't come to them and say, give me money first and then I'll tell you the gospel. No, he actually preached the gospel to them free of charge. And then when they got blessed, he started teaching them about this wonderful thing called this grace, right? And this grace is a free unmerited favor. It's a law of sowing and reaping. And it gets enacted by you sowing. And God, with his free unmerited favor, blesses your sowing. So he taught that to them. Then when he left, they actually said, hey, Paul, can we help you? He actually said, you are the only ones that asked me if I needed help. All the rest of the churches said, whatever. They heard the same story. They heard the same ministry. But the church at Macedonia, at Philippi, they were poor. And God got them. Paul got them out the ditch through what God gave him through this grace. He gave him this teaching, how they could sow themselves out of poverty. So they started, he started teaching them about this grace, and they started working this grace. And they got their bills paid, I mean, they were able to, through their abundance, to help him. So, you know, it says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, if someone ministers to you godly things and you don't help in their ministry, it's up to you. But if you just only want to reap and never sow, God's not mocked. Whatever you reap, you'll sow. And if you're only wanting to reap things from godly people, but sow into your natural life so that you can receive natural stuff, you'll receive that. That's all you'll get. And it says here, and let us not be weary. And it also says in Galatians chapter 6, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So people are always willing to sow into their own life and their own flesh, but they're not willing to sow into someone's life who's sowing into their life or pouring into their life spiritual life, rivers of living water. It says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You need to be patient with your seed. You put it in the ground, you plant it in the ground, you water it, and then all of a sudden leaves come up, and then it grows a stem, and then leaves come up further, and then eventually fruit. You have to be patient. You know, you're not always going to reap the benefits of your sowing straight away. But if you're patient, you'll reap 30, 60, or 100 fold. That's far greater than what you sowed in. It's all about waiting, and God is not going to let you down. God does not hold back on his blessing to those who are patient and letting it have its way, let it grow. You know, the Bible says, let patience have her perfect work. You need to wait on things. It says here, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So do good to all men, but especially those who are of the household of faith. Help people. You know, there's a lot of times, you know, we get asked to do things and it costs us money to do things for people. We don't ask them to help us, or we don't ask them to reimburse us. We do that out of the finances that we have. And some of them, they just they don't really understand about helping us or repaying us because they don't have any understanding. Rather than pull the plug on them and say, well, you don't care, so we're just going to just forget about you. No, we do good to all men that ask us. And in that, we're asking God to supply our need. If they don't have the ability, they don't have the understanding, if they don't see, if their eyes are closed to the benefit of blessing us, well, so be it. But God will move on someone else. And he'll fill that gap using someone else. And you, who are have your eyes closed, you'll miss out on the blessing. You know, Paul said, it's not that I desire a gift from you. It's that I desire that you bear fruit. Paul saw that getting a gift from them was the least of his problems. He wanted them to bear much fruit. He wanted to cause them to understand so that when God supplied the seed to them, they were to sow it not into their own lives and the lust of their flesh and, ask God to bless their lives. They're not going to get blessed because they, you know, in James it says you ask and you ask amiss. It means you miss the shot because, you know, they just sowed unto their own selves. They were not willing to bless other people and ask God, what do you want me to do with my life? Instead, they asked amiss because they wanted to consume it upon their own lusts. They wanted to buy things that would make their life happy, and they weren't interested in furthering the kingdom of God. You know, God has people that are ministering to people, and they're not being supported. And then there's other people who are false ministers, and they're getting supported because the people are being fooled because they don't have their eyes open. I mean, I find it quite strange that we would minister to people and they would say, you know, my church never taught me any of this stuff, and I've been in the ditch for years. And now, since we've gone to your website and the Holy Spirit's moving in our lives change. And these people still pay tithes to their dead church and forget about us. I find that not amusing, but very strange. I find it sad, but when the Lord said that, we're just like filthy rags to the world, you know, even to the body of Christ, we're like the offscouring. We're like the scum of the earth. You know, people have their eyes on their own selves and on their own immediate things. And they don't have their eyes on the things of God. That's why we have to come to them and minister to them spiritual things so that they can get their eyes on God. And sometimes they bless us. Sometimes, most times, they don't. That's the way it falls. Is it going to stop us? No, we're going to continue ministering to those who are in need. And God will supply our need, if so be. If he can't move on a saint, he will move on unsaved people to bless us. And you know, that's an indictment unto the saints. That's an indictment unto the saints of God of their lack of understanding and their lack of vision. That's a sad state of affairs. But God will find a way to support us and to supply our needs according to his riches and glory. But I want you to understand this, because this component of sowing and reaping and this grace will get you out of debt, will get you out of the ditch financially, will get you to be used by God, and he will cover your abilities, whether it be financial or natural abilities, in the anointing and give you an outcome that will astound you. And it says in chapter 6, verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. As we have opportunity. So God gives us this seed, and that is the opportunity. If we don't have the seed, we don't have the opportunity. We actually have to sow out of our stuff. But God provides the seed for the sower, and he gives him the opportunity to sow wherever he wants. Now, you could sow into dead ground and only bring forth a few plants, or you can be wise and ask God, how do I sow this into good prepared ground? Into ground that's been plowed over and over again. That's wise. That's smart in when it comes to planting your seed. So there's two things. God gives you the seed. He supplies the seed for the sower. He gives you the opportunity, and then you need to be obedient to God's leading and not be led by emotionalism. We see it on TV. They have all these poor little starving African children. People give to that, and then they find out that most of the money or the opportunity that they have put into that, that whatever ministry it is, may not even be a Christian ministry, the money gets gobbled up in administrational fees. By the time it gets to the poor little starving African child, he just gets a little bit of it. I know, because a charity asked me to help them get themselves out of the ditch. This is many, many years ago. I showed them how to market their charity effectively, and I also learnt that the mechanism of the charity, it was an African, it was a charity to help African starving children, and you know, they had so many steps you had to do to get to the end, and somebody wanted a piece of the action, every piece, every step. By the time it got to the end, it was so whittled down, there was 20 cents in the dollar. The other 80 cents was it was gobbled up in administrational fees. It was gobbled up with people who were out there collecting. They got a piece. It was gobbled up by people who had to work out the finances. And that was gobbled up as well. And then when they sent it to the people to do their stuff, they gobbled it up. And the people who ended up at the end, who the money was collected for, they get 20 cents in the dollar. So there's a big machinery getting fat on these poor, unfortunate people. That's bad. That's really bad. But that's the way of the world, and we understand that. The Bible says not money is the root of all evil, but the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money. All people want is to line their pockets, and they'll do whatever it takes, lie, cheat, and steal, to line their pockets. Some churches lie, steal, and cheat to line their pockets. They talk about, we need to build another building so that we can fill it full of people who are not saved, so that we can get those people to give us more money so that we can build another building full of people who are not saved. That's a useless story. And yet everybody, they just swallow it. Because nobody ever asked the accountability questions. Are these people being saved? Are their lives being changed? Nobody ever does that. They all just preach about the future. One day God's going to give us revival. One day God's going to give us a blessing. One day our lives are going to change. One day we're going to see a healing ministry. One day. And it seems to never come. This is my strategy. Today, sit down and seek God earnestly, and he'll give you that stuff. You know, a lot of them, they preach that one day this will happen, but they don't have a game plan, a biblical game plan. And they wonder why they don't reap anything, because they're sowing into thin air. You know, God's very generous. You know what the Lord is showing me? That there are churches who are sowing into revival. They're praying into revival. And some of their prayers are being orchestrated by God. And some of their prayers are just being orchestrated by themselves. They had their genesis from themselves. And some prayers are coming from the throne room of God. They're inspired words of God. And if those people aren't able to receive that reaping, they'll be sowing, but they might not receive that reaping. Later on, God will send an anointed person who's plowed their field over and over again and can carry that, and then the anointing will fall on that person and those prayers will come to pass and the end will happen, the reaping of those prayers. But there's a lot of prayers being spoken that don't come from God, and people are waiting for a long, long time for those prayers to come to pass. They're not going to. They're not going to. I'm sorry. God's not going to answer other people's prayers. He's only going to answer the prayers that are connected with the kingdom of God. Anything you do and anything you say and any prayer you pray, if it's not authorized by the kingdom of God, there's no purpose to it. There's no outwardness, no ending to it. They are dead works, dead prayers, you can say. How can you have dead prayers? Well, there's tons of them. There's churches that say the Hail Mary. That's definitely a dead prayer. Praying to Mary to ask Jesus to bless you is a dead prayer. I'm amazed that people are swallowing all of this junk and they're seeing no fruit, but they keep saying next generation. Next generation will see fruit. People are dying and generations are going past and still no fruit. So if you'd like to help Don and I out at Clear Vision Revival, just go to the bottom of this page and click on support.